I want to welcome you again to these lessons on the title of Believing Jesus, which is a strange title in a way, because you think, well, aren't you speaking to believers? And isn't that what believers do, is believe Jesus? Yes, thank God that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead and you've asked him into your heart and confess him as your Lord and Savior and all of those things. And I know you believe. I do too. We're all believing to a certain level. But see, what we're after is a revival and really a reformation, not only in the USA, but really around the world of many nations, turning these nations, and of course that means the people, back to God. And Jesus would say things about believing that would just rock my world. He would say, now those that believe, this is John 14, verse 12, he said, verily, verily, truly, I say unto you, those or he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And in the next verse, he's like almost repeating himself. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then it's like he repeats it again, the next verse. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I mean, how emphatic can you get? Yet, in my own life and watching other ministries, I thank God for the times that we have prayed and seen the results and people get healed. And I've seen miracles through Pastor Dave. I've actually seen miracles through these hands on a rare occasion. And mostly what we've seen worldwide has really still been by the gifts. It's sporadic. If you bring your blind friend to the meeting, they might get healed. They might not get healed. That's kind of what we've seen. But see, Jesus set the eternal mark when he ran his own meetings, when he had his own body on planet Earth. His meetings, you know, you can just, he healed them all. You know, it either says he healed them all, or they brought all unto him who were sick, and he healed them. Which means, them who? Well, them all that were there. So, there's a phrase now that he's given me for years. What we're pressing toward is believing Jesus to the point we have Jesus meetings again in the earth where they all get healed. First time, every time, no exceptions. That's the way he did it then. My Bible tells me, and yours does too, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So if Jesus gets to fully manifest himself through believers, they're all going to get healed. First time, every time, no exceptions. Praise God. That's so he's and okay, and again, I can't do too much review. We'll never get there what he wants to do today. But I don't have that document in front of me, but one day in prayer he said to me, believing really is an almost biological event. It is a literal recoding of the brain. A recoding of the brain. So we did a whole series with 18 lessons titled Recoding the Brain. It's at the website. We have it in MP3 video format, and now we even have the PDFs that you can print if you would like, about how to recode the brain. And so we've already been through all that. Well, right at the end of that, he says, now I want you to take what you've learned in that series and teach a new series titled Believing Jesus. And we're going to incorporate what we've learned from recoding the brain. Recoding the brain really is just another way of saying renewing the mind. It's Romans 12:2, that we no longer think like the world, act like the world, but that we're transformed, metamorphosized, really changed by the renewing of the mind, so that we can know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, so forth. Well, his perfect will is for Jesus to be fully manifested through us, you know, so that even the world can say, God's with them. Nobody can do what they do except God be with them. Well, that's the message, and it's Christ in us. It's not us, it's Christ in us, still doing the works through us. Anyway, that's a big summary. So now, in this series, let me just say this again. I am going to very narrowly stay with what Jesus said. Because another thing he said to me recently. He said, the kingdom of God functions the way the king says it does, and not the way you think it does. So what we're going to do, we're going to stay narrowly focused. I mean, stay strictly with what the king, who is Jesus, he is the king of the kingdom. What did he say? How does the kingdom work? Regardless of what we've seen in the past, regardless of what we see even currently, what did the king say? Well, we've already been through one principle, and you can go ahead and be opening your Bibles again to Mark 11. I know you go, Mark 11, I heard this when I was first born again. Yeah, me too. Thank God. And we've lived, Sue and I have lived by Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mostly in all these years of ministry, we had to, because Jesus told us not to ever share any needs that we had personally, or that the ministry needs that the ministry had with anybody, which means we had to go to directly to him, which is, you know, verse 24 is talking about prayer and believe you receive when you pray. Well, I couldn't tell you I needed a printer or I needed a computer or I needed an employee or I needed this or that. I couldn't tell you. He told me not to. So I had to go to him and ask and believe we receive when we prayed. And that's how we've lived all these years. So you come too late to tell me it doesn't work. It does work. Anyhow, well, of course it works. This is what the king said. All right, let me just read the passage. If you haven't found Mark 4 by now, we're praying for you. I always think when I hear the book of Mark, I remember an instruction he gave me when we first started the Bible study all those years ago, way back there. And he said, I want you to teach it so simply that it can be understood by people who could not find the book of Mark with both hands. Well, that was the instruction, and those lessons are still at the website. They're in the, what do we call it, boot camp series, and also the workbook series. If you really want the basics of the basics, there they are. All right, reading again, trying to read this. I'm going to see if I can. Now, actually, I'm going to read all the way through verse 26 today, because Jesus laid out three kingdom laws. You remember, he told us also that he sent Jim Martin at the time, this year in February, this season, to Pastor Bronx Church down in Immokalee, Florida. And the series that he taught was called Kingdom Law. And then the Lord prophesied through Bronx. He said, there's things in this teaching that you're going to need as your final training in preparation for frontline work, really, battlefield work in the kingdom of God. And so I had to go back through there, and I listened to all them again, this time taking notes, and gleaned a lot of things that I didn't hear the first time. I heard them, but I didn't hear them. You ever do that? You hear, but you don't hear. And I was surprised at some of the things. But anyway, we're also going to incorporate that, because this really is kingdom law. The kingdom of God does not function one day by emotion and the next day by law and the next day by, what did Joe say about it? You know, no. The kingdom is the king of the kingdom establishes the law of the kingdom, and the kingdom functions by kingdom law. It's not by chance. Yes, I'm not going to ignore him. I know I've said this before, but when he brings it, I'm going to say it. It functions very much like electricity, not exactly. But electricity, now think about it. Man lived on planet Earth for thousands of years before they discovered how to use electricity. But electricity was here. God put it in the Earth. Everything that there is about electricity was already here. But man, can I say it this way? Man perished from the usefulness of electricity for a lack of knowledge on how to capture it, store it, transmit it, and use it. It was here the whole time. God gave us electricity from the very beginning. Everything about it is in the earth. But man perished from electricity, from the use of it, for lack of knowledge. I think it's very much the same way with the power flow in the kingdom of God. God has given us, you know, I could give Bible verses, you know, we in First Peter, he says he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, you know. Oh, really? Have you seen my life? It's kind of a wreck. Well, it's not that he hasn't given it to us. Again, we're perishing in a large measure for a lack of knowledge. Just like electricity was there. Didn't know how to access it. Didn't know how to store it. Didn't know how to transmit it. Didn't know how to use it. Didn't take away from the fact God's given us electricity. Well, God's given us power over all the power of the enemy. Those that believe, apparently believing is a major part of how you store and transmit the power. Can I say it that way? Believing is a big part of that. Okay, getting too much too quick. All right. Okay, finally, I am going to read Mark 11. This time we're going to read verses 22 all the way down through 26. Okay, yes, sir. What had just happened? Jesus, the day before, had cursed the fig tree. No man eat fruit of thee forever. The disciples heard him. Here's their master talking to a tree. When they walked away, it didn't look like anything happened. I wondered what they thought. Did you notice our master? Did you see him too? Was he over there talking? Didn't he talk to the tree? Well, when they walked away, it didn't look like anything happened. Next morning, when they come by that same tree, that tree is dried up from the roots. And, they were astonished. You know, I think it was Peter that said, Lord, how quickly this tree that you cursed is withered away. Now, see, all Jesus did was speak words. He didn't touch it. He didn't lay hands on it. He didn't put an axe to it. All he did was speak words and walked away. Now, the next day, they see the results of those words. Now, what does that tell anybody? Somebody is working with those words. He didn't touch it. He didn't put an axe to it. He didn't put poison on it. He just spoke to it. And, you know, if you're a thinking person, you're going, God is working with this man's words. He spoke and God did. And of course, God here being the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Father. Know if you can hear the traffic going by. Got a major street right outside the window here. Just anyway. So Jesus then begins teaching them, because he knows they're going to have to function this same way. If they're going to continue in kingdom work after he goes to heaven, they're going to have to learn how to function this way, and so are we. So he starts teaching them how to have faith in God, and he's talking about the same kind that they just saw, where God works with your words. Now, we went last two or three weeks was strong about becoming a person who believes that what you say shall come to pass. I'm not going to emphasize that today. We've already done that. Today, really, we're going to look at two more laws just in this little short passage. I'll just go ahead and tell you. The law of petitional prayer and the law of forgiving. These are laws. They're not maybe-sos. They're not by your choice. This is the laws established by the king. You function by them or you're not going to have kingdom benefit. A house, the kingdom is not, you and the kingdom not working together. I don't know how else to put it. Okay, finally, they're going to read it. So he's trying to teach them now and teach us too all down through eternity how we're to function so that what we say, God can work with what we say to come to pass, to produce kingdom results. Okay. So Mark 11, starting in 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, whosoever, God, don't you, I'm so glad, whosoever, that's me, that's you, that's everybody, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's kingdom law number one. If you're going to function in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to become a person who believes what you say comes to pass. Now that means a great bridling is going to have to come on the tongues of the believers in the body of Christ, including yours truly. We've taught on that for the last few weeks. Going on now. Therefore, now because that's true, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now that's kingdom law number 2, and we're really going to emphasize that one today. But I want to continue because I want to mention all 3 of these laws. You've got to have all 3 of these working in your life to be effective in the kingdom. Number 1, you got to be a person that you really believe what you say comes to pass. Number 2, you've got to become a person that believes when you pray, God's going to answer and answers yes. We'll get into that here maybe today and maybe for a while. But then there's one more. This is the 3rd law of the kingdom. Because when he says and, you know, anytime somebody says and, that means they're not done talking yet. So this is the 3rd law that he's laying out today in this passage. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now that's a law. All 3, there's, as far as I can tell here, there's 3 kingdom laws. I want to say them again. Okay. Number 1. If you're going to function, if you're going to have faith in God, if you're going to have faith that God's going to work with you the same way he's working with the master here, where when you say something, God works with your words. There's 3 things you got to believe. Number 1, you have to believe. You've got to become a person that believes what you say shall come to pass. Again, we've taught on that for 2 or 3 weeks. We could probably teach on it for a month. The 2nd one, the one we're going to start talking more about today, because that's true, when you pray, you have to believe that he hears you and that he answers yes. See, you got to believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see it. And we'll get into that. When you pray, the key is believing you receive when you pray. Not when you see it, not when you feel it, not when circumstances change. You've got to believe you receive it when you pray. Well, again, get into that more. But all of that hinges on the foundation. You're going to have to be a forgiving person. He may have later, I think it'll be later, we'll get into that parable where he talks about that king that forgave this servant a massive debt. And he just let him go just because the goodness of the king, let this guy go. Okay, loose him from his debt. I forgive him his debt. Let's let him go. That same servant, somebody else owed him a little pittance, a little small amount, and couldn't pay it. He said, you put them in prison. He would not forgive. Well, the end of that is not good for the guy who would not forgive, because eventually he wound up with tormentors. And I'll just tell you ahead of time, I've been at, see these gray hairs? Take some advantage from my lifetime here. I'll just tell you right now, the most miserable people that I have known is not, you know, there's a lot of sinners that seem to be fairly happy. Sue and I were kind of like that before we got saved, you know. They're really not, but they seem that way. But the most miserable people I have known in my lifetime are genuine Christians who refuse to forgive. And I mean, even to the point I've seen some of them become, I know a spirit cannot possess the spirit of a born again person that they're really born again, but they can be so inhabited in their mind, you can't tell the difference. And I mean, miserable people, just miserable, go through life. And they just will not forgive people. Well, you wind up being a bitter, shriveled up old prune now. Don't be like that. And also, I'll just tell you also, it's important that you learn to forgive yourself. I want to say that a different way, that you trust in the blood, that it's enough to forgive even you. So when you put it that way, oh, you know, They say, I got to forgive myself. Well, I don't want to love myself. You know, I don't want to be one of those end time people that, you know, they're all selfish and, you know, I love me and in the sense of, it's all about me. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the blood of the Lamb. And you better have enough faith to believe that blood is enough to forgive even you. And if that's the case, you need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, you rascal. His mercies are new every morning. I love how Dave taught on mercy. You caught the guy stealing your TV set. You're about to call the police. He said, please don't, please. He says, I'm just trying to provide for my family. I'll put your TV back. Please forgive me. Mercy says, okay, put my TV back. I'll let you go. That's mercy. See, grace says, wait a minute. I'm not just going to have mercy on you. You're in such a pitiful shape. Listen, I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to give you my name. And I'm going to share my inheritance with you. You're not going to do without it anymore. God. God, I can't hardly take it still 40 some odd years later. I still can't hardly take it. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. He didn't just forgive us. He adopted us into his family. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the title of today's lesson, I believe, is, we're going to call it, King Jesus Teaches About Prayer. Now, there's many different kinds of prayer, intercessional prayer, the prayer of petition, the prayer of agreement, many other things. And dear Lord, you can do a whole series on each one of those. But in this series, again, I'm just going to stay very narrowly focused on what the King himself taught us about how the kingdom functions. And this passage here in Mark 11, 22 through 27, I believe it is, this whole passage, this one he's talking about petitional prayer, but in a way it's also intercessional prayer. And you'll see what I mean here in a minute. So we've read all this passage already. Now listen. When it comes to a petition, when we pray for anything, it's because we want to see the answer to that prayer. That's just, you know, simple Jane see the ball, right? If we ask for something, it's because we want to have it, okay? Now, King Jesus, when he says, if you want to have this thing that you desire, ask, you do need to ask. And, of course, we always ask in his name. But now what he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, here's the King, what things soever you desire, now notice, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have it. But the key in that verse right there is believe that you receive when you pray. Of course, it's imperative that our asking, our petition must be in line with God's will. Be honest with you, from the word, if you ask things that's not according to his will, I'm not even really sure he hears you. And you can look this, you know, over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. I did a series several years ago on 1 John. And the key to unlocking that little book was something he said right at the beginning. He says, I'm paraphrasing, but he's really saying all of the things that, you know, we handled the word of life. We saw him. We touched him. We handled him with our hands. And everything really that we saw, I'm sharing with you. And I understood then that John was really just teaching what he had heard Jesus teach, putting it in different words, but it's still the same lessons. And so I had to go back through there, my assignment, go verse by verse and find where Jesus, in 1 John, go verse by verse and find where Jesus taught the same thing. And I did. And it unlocked the whole book. So, again, you can afford that series. It's free. It's available at the website. The 1 John series. And it will remove the grave from your gospel. I'll tell you that. All right. But see, John, over in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, well, we know that he hears us. Well, he who knows, think about it. The Bible says, you know, Jesus said a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Father's notice. I mean, he's attentive. You know, that old, I love that old song, his eye is upon the sparrow, so I know he watches over me. That's so true. Well, if he's attentive to every sparrow that falls to the ground, he is the original Father. How much more is he attentive when his children pray to him? Now, you know, we've had we had three children, we have grandchildren, and we've got great-grandchildren, and now Sue and I are so old now that our grandbabies are having babies. They're in their 30s, you know, our grandbabies are in their 30s now. Well, I'll tell you, over these, with my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, when they ask, trust me when I say it's my delight. Almost, I mean, you know, just about anything they want is my will. Now, of course, you know, you can't take that to extremes. If any of them ever comes and asks me for a marijuana, I'm not going to give it to them. Not that I would have it anyway. No, I'm not going to do that. Heroin? How about heroin, Grandpa? No. not going to do that, see. But, boy, there's a vast array. You probably have heard me talk about the time I gave my granddaughter Lily, when she was pretty small, a little Lily Cakes. And she was staying with us that day, and I had some little small ice cream cones, the sugar pointy kind, you know. Anyway, I fixed her this little tiny ice cream cone. Boys, I just delighted watching her eat that ice cream cone. It was my delight, and it was her delight, too. When she saw me watching her, you know, and she's licking that thing, and she says, Papa, she was so little, she couldn't say her L's yet. And so it came out like this. She's going to offer me a lick, you know, of ice cream. She said, Papa, would you yike a yitto yik? No, you go ahead. No, I'm just enjoying you, what, you know, you having it. Well, she finished that one. Papa, can I have another one? That's in my will. Yes. Sure, here I go, man. She's watching me make it. I watch her eat that one. Now, they're little, okay? That little cone is not this big, a little bitty thing. And a little ball of ice cream on top. Can I have one more? So, yes, you can have another. Now, I wouldn't have given her a fourth one, I don't think, but I did give her three. I gave her three ice cream cones, small ones now, in a row. Well, her mother, Erin, heard me teach that. She said, you never gave me three ice cream cones in a row. I just said, I was never your grandpa. I'm telling you. And if we become more like that, I would just wonder how the ultimate grandpa, if you'll allow me, the ultimate father, there's a lot of things that's going to be within his will that you might ask for. Now, on the other hand, you can get I don't want any of my kids, grandkids, or great-grandkids being spoiled little brats, you know, where it's all about me, and then to go through life all selfish and don't care about the kingdom of God and that type of thing. But, boy, there's a lot of things that if it's in their will, it's going to be in my will too. Okay, back to this. So if we ask anything according to his will, now John's teaching this because he heard Jesus teach it, and I'll show it to you in a minute. Well, he hears this first off, but look at the next verse, 1 John 5:15. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that we have them. Well, how do we know that we have them? Because we believe we receive when we pray. John is just teaching what he heard Jesus teach. He's not adding anything. He's teaching what he heard Jesus teach. You ask according to his will, and you believe you receive when you pray. Now, go over to John 16 for a minute. John 16. I want you to see Jesus continues teaching along this line. And John 16, verses 23 and 24. And again, now this John 16, we're just hours before the cross now. Everything here is just so, it's all the word of God is important, but we're right down to the wire. And Jesus says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. We don't really pray to Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. If Lily was talking to her friends after that three ice cream event, you know, whatever I ask my grandfather, he'll give it to me. As long as it's not really bad for me, you know, he'll give it to me. Think about that. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. Well, again, John is teaching what he teaches over there in 1 John because he heard Jesus teach it first. Now again, when in the name of Jesus is equivalent to saying according to his will, the Holy Spirit said to me that it was safe to ask for things that you see the Father always doing through his Son. If you see something that he's always does, well, you can know that's the Father's will. Well, we've talked about this over and over. I did my research many years ago. I purposely, because I was raised in a denomination where they didn't know if it was always his will to heal or not. So, you know, they knew God could heal. They just didn't know if he was willing all the time. And so every time they even would, I've seen them pray for the sick, you know, not a prayer line like we have in a charismatic Pentecostal type services, but Lord, come up, you know, we're going to pray for Brother Joe and whatever. But they'd always put at the end of it, if it be thy will. Well, that's a deal breaker. I hate to say it that way, but it is. There's no faith in that prayer at all. You don't know if it's his will. But see, I did my research many, many years ago. I encourage you to do the same, because I had to know if what they were teaching me was true. Can I know? Well, here's what I found out. I mean, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, you do it for yourself. I did. I just went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can't find a single case where anybody came to Jesus to be healed that they did not get healed. Now, that doesn't mean it just, you know, he walked through a village and everybody in the village in their bedrooms or in the hospital or whatever got healed automatically. No, that's not the case. But it is the case that if they came to a meeting or if they came to him privately to get healed, every single one of them got healed. There's not no exceptions. That's why, after just being totally convinced, that's why I say he healed them all, first time, every time, no exceptions. Now, when you see Jesus, and some of those meetings, by the way, were huge. When it says great multitudes, we're talking loaves and fishes multitudes now, where there was 5,000 men, you know, not counting the women, not counting the children. How many people were in that crowd? 10,000? 15,000? How many sick did they bring? But time and again, he healed them all. He healed them all. If you see the Son doing something 100% of the time, he said, I can have faith for anything that I see the Father doing all the time through the Son. Well, one of those things for sure is healing. If you come to him for healing, you're going to get it. Just like salvation. He doesn't turn up. No matter, there are some denominations that teach predestination wrongly. And that's not the subject today. But your Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that he's your Lord, you shall be saved. And it's a whosoever. So, at 100%, he doesn't turn away. Okay, I'll save you. Oh, not you over here. You don't, you did the same thing as that one. But no, I just don't like the cut of your jib. There's something about you I just don't like. It's not like that at all. He saves anybody who comes, and he heals anybody who comes. Gary, have you seen that all the time in your gray-haired life? No, I have not seen that. But I see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's the mark, not my experience. I'm not going to bring the Bible down to my experience. We're going to bring our experience up to the Bible. That's good preaching right there. Good job, Gary. All right. So the Holy Spirit said to me that it was safe to ask for anything that you see the Father always doing through the Son. He always healed. Always. If anybody came, privately or publicly, they got healed. So it's always the Father's will to heal, to save, to deliver from demons, always. The rare exception would be somebody under God's judgment, like the man at Corinth that you can read about in 1 Corinthians, who had his father's wife. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. Now, they're in, these are so-called believers in church, probably sitting on the front row. And, you know, the leadership's not doing anything about it, not calling it out. Okay, now that's just total violation of the Word of God. And so, sure enough, he wound up under judgment. Because if he didn't do something about that, he said a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Well, everybody else was, well, if they can get away with that, well, maybe we can get away with that. Well, God wanted, there's things you cannot get away with. Hymenaeus and, I'm probably not saying that right, Hymenaeus and Alexander is another case. So they were teaching false doctrine to the point it says they were destroying the faith of some. But listen, that man in Corinth, you can read in 2 Corinthians, he did repent, came back to the Lord, and Paul said to receive him back into fellowship. He stopped with his father's wife, what a stepmom or whatever that was. And he's about Hymenaeus and Alexander, if they repent and cast down their false doctrine, they can come back to the Lord too. So if they repent, they can be restored to fellowship. All right, now this next part is so important, I'm gonna read it, okay? Most, I write these things after, you just don't know, just long times of meditation of the word and prayer, and then it begins to flow. And very often I cannot improve on it, so let me just read this, okay? See, most of us pray, and we make our petition to the Father. Then we look in the natural to see if our prayer got answered or not. And that's not what Jesus taught. I want to ask the Father for whatever, okay? Oh, now, how do you know if he heard you and answered? I'm going to go look over here and see. That is the opposite of what Jesus taught now. I'm going to read it again. Most of us pray and make our petition, our prayer to the Father. Then we look in the natural realm to see if that prayer was answered or not. In our normal way of thinking, we ask, then we look to see if we actually received our answer. By that process, we don't believe we have received our answer until we see it manifested in the world. My brothers and sisters, that is called living by sight. I will believe it when I see it, dear Lord. We're always already back to the now we're back to the natural gray matter brain. If you listen to the Recoding the Brain series, now it's like, I will believe it when I see it. Well, that's the natural way of the world. That's not how prayer works in the kingdom of God. See, that is the opposite of what the king said. He said, we must believe we receive when? Oh, when we pray. Now, the reason for this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The serpent, in that when he was having his conversation with Eve, he not only said God was a liar by stating the opposite of what God said. God said, the day you eat that fruit, you'll surely die. And the devil just plainly says, you will not surely die. Well, he's calling God a liar. See, from the beginning, the devil is the accuser, and he is, can I say, besmirching the character of God. First, he's calling him a liar, but it gets worse than that. But the serpent also maligned God's character because he was saying to them, you can't trust God. God's holding, but he was saying to Adam, to Eve first, you can't trust him. He's holding back the best from you. That's the reason he's not allowing you to eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God's keeping the best for himself. And he knows that if you and your husband eat of that tree, you'll become like God. What he's really saying is you won't need him anymore. And you can be your own God. And you can determine what's right and what's wrong. God, if that is not that same devil in our culture today, you know, relative truth. Yeah. What is it? What does truth mean to you? Well, I believe that this and I believe that. Poppycock. Baloney. He's still preaching that same message today. And it's like, well, why wouldn't God want me to be happy? I need to sleep with 7 women every day, you know? Good God, what's wrong with you? You know? He was besmirching God's character, called him a liar, called God selfish, saying that God did not have your best in Adam and Eve. He doesn't have your best interest at heart. Actually, he's holding you back. Yeah, it's God. He's holding you back because he knows if you eat the tree of that, eat the fruit of that tree, you'll be like him. You can become your own God, you know. You don't have to listen to him. You can do whatever you want. God, if that isn't that, I'm telling you, in the radical grace circles, that gospel is pretty well being taught today. They use a little different slant on it, but it's the end result. You can sin and there will be no consequences. The devil, that's the devil's gospel from the beginning. And it's still his gospel today, just under different banners. Okay. All right. Satan must have used a similar tactic in heaven in order to get a third of the angels to follow him. You know, a third of the angels, it's hard for me to comprehend, actually followed this liar. One minister that I like, he calls the devil the forever loser. I like that. He's the forever loser. But the forever loser, they didn't see him that way. A third of the angels chose to follow this guy. It reminds you of the second psalm, all of this. Psalms 2, if you want to look it up. Now I've got it here in the Amplified. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3. This is the classic Amplified. The kings of the earth take their places. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. And they say, let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us. Boy, there it is. There's the flesh. There's the devil. I want what I want when I want it, and I don't care if it's good for me or bad for me. I just want it. And I want drugs, and I want alcohol, and I want money, and I want all those women, and I want this, and I want that. And I need 7 Cadillac cars, all different colors, whatever you like, Lexus, whatever it is. I want a different color for every day of the week. The Bible talks about the horsefly and the leech, I think, in Proverbs. Neither one of those are ever satisfied. That's the flesh. It's a bottomless pit. Oh, anyway, can't teach on that. Now, many years ago, the Lord showed me that because of lack of faith in God's word, that was the way out of the garden for Adam. When Adam chose not to put his faith in what God said, and he listened to his wife, who was really, by that process, he's listening to a devil in that case now. Now, I got me a good wife. It's good to listen to it. If you got a godly wife, you better listen to her. That she can hear God a lot of times better than you. So, yeah. I learned early, better listen to what Sue hears from God, you know. took me a lesson or two, bump, to get that, but I got it. So, anyway, see, but lack of faith in God's word was the way out of the garden. And that's why faith in God's word is the only way back in to the, you know, the born again experience. You've got to believe the word of God and accept it and receive it, submit to it, and you get born again when Jesus is the word. Okay. But see, so that's true. Lack of faith in God's word was the way out of the garden. Faith in God's word is really the way back into the family of God. But now I'm seeing another one. I see another aspect. Really, believing a lie about God's character was also part of the way out of the garden. And I'm seeing now a big reason why we don't have the results that we want. I'm hesitating because I don't want to say a lot of the reason is false teaching that we've heard from pulpits about what God is like. See, faith in God's character is required also. If we're going to start having kingdom results, we're going to have to really, really get to know the Father and his character. You know who came to show us that? Jesus Christ. Remember, Philip said, just show us the Father. Just show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And what did Jesus say to him? Philip, have I been so long with you and you don't understand this? Philip, Gary, believer, if you have seen me, Jesus, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Whew. Listen, in this series, when we're going to just stay strictly with what the King says to us about the kingdom, he says a lot of things about the Father and the Father's character that is so different than what we've seen by our natural experience in this fallen world. And it's very different from what we heard from many pulpits and maybe read in many books. For example, I was raised to believe that you've got to storm heaven. You know, you got to storm the gates of heaven. They're teaching on prayer, you know. And the idea you get is God's all shut up in there and he's got all power and he can heal you and bless you if he wants to. He may not want to. So you're going to have to storm the gates of heaven. So I had this idea like there's a reluctant God on the other side of that castle wall there. I got to storm the gates. I got to pound and beat down the door. And maybe when I get in there, you know, it's almost like you got to wrestle the blessing away from a reluctant God. Is that how Lily got 3 ice cream cones? And is that how Jesus taught about the Father? We're going to get into it later. I don't think we'll make it today, but later on we'll get over into Luke chapter 11 where they asked Jesus to teach them specifically about prayer. And so he did, of course. And in Luke 11, he's talking about, you know, we're asking for bread for somebody else. Really, you're asking for the anointing so you can deliver healing or what finances or whatever it is to this friend of yours who is in trouble. They have a need and you're going to God to get the bread, type and shadow, for them. So it's really sort of intercessory prayer in a way. And well, how does Jesus say that? He says, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, the door will be open. He absolutely talks about the Father the way, kind of how I gave that example about Lily. He said, well, which father of you, if a son comes and asks for something good, would give him a snake or something bad for him? No, you wouldn't do that. Now, in Luke's account, he says it this way. He says, so if you, being evil, he just means compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Listen, there's only one baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there is many, many refillings. I don't know if we'll get that far today or not, but there's many refillings of the Holy Ghost. But see, I want you to notice the difference. See, every time Jesus teaches on prayer or faith, like when I'm thinking right now about that, the widowed woman and the unjust judge, you know, and you know, in the parable he says, now this unjust judge, he didn't care about God or man. He only gave that woman what she wanted because she just wouldn't leave him alone. See, persistence and she just wouldn't take no for an answer. And so that's part of where they get that doctrine, I guess. I don't know why that keeps moving. That's why they get that doctrine, I guess, about you got to storm the gates of heaven. But Jesus in that same parable says, no, that's an unjust judge. He says, your Father, he will avenge you. He will give judgment in your favor speedily. See, that's not what we've seen. That's not our experience. It's not what I was taught in church growing up as a little boy. Jesus is, he said, no one really knows the Father but the Son and those to whom the Son reveals him. Well, he's revealing the Father to us. And the Father is not like what we've seen. He is not like our experience. He's not like what we heard from the pulpit. We're going to have to believe what the King says. The King says, if you knock on your Father's door, he's going to open it. If you seek him, you'll find him. And if you ask, you're going to receive. See, it's got a lot to do with God's character. Okay, I think I have one. Maybe we're going to finish here today. See, did you know that the word Satan actually means accuser? See, in the garden, Satan accused God of being a liar. We know that because God said you'll die and Satan says you'll not die. And that's Genesis 3:4, by the way. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Boy, if that's not Satan saying basically God's a liar, you should listen to me. He wants to be God. He wants to be your God. You know, I hate to tell you this, but in the Bible, it does say Satan is the God, little g, of this world. The whole world lieth under the power of darkness, and one translation says under the power of the wicked one. That's why we're not to love the world or the things in the world. But anyway, so first off, he just flat calls God a liar. We're gonna focus on character here for just a minute. When the accuser, Satan, said that to Eve, he's saying God is a liar and his word is not true. Boy. The world, the culture outside of Christianity, or outside of genuine Christianity, let me say it that way, is still preaching that same thing today. You can't count on God's word. Why? I know so-and-so who believed God and they died. I remember how Norval Hayes would say that. How could you know somebody like that when since the dawn of time, there's never been anybody like that? And you're what? Yeah, my Aunt Susie believed and she died. No. If your Aunt Susie died of that, whatever it was, and she may have said she was a believer, but if she died of it, she didn't believe. Now, I'm going to say that about myself. If I die of some damnable disease, it's because I'm not believing. Because the word plainly says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. By his stripes you were healed. He sent his word and healed them. The Lord says, I bless your bread, I bless your water, and I take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, Satan goes, no, 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 feel your symptoms. Touch your fevered brow. Read that report again that the doctor gave you. You know, now I'm not against doctors or reports. I thank God. If it hadn't been for doctors, I'd have probably been in a wheelchair my whole life because I had polio when I was 5 years old, and that I had it before the Salk vaccine was even invented. So most of the kids that got it when I had it died or was in an iron lung their whole life or in a wheelchair. And I thank God for the doctors that I had. I've lived a pretty normal life. You know, I got a little trouble from it, but been very active, very good. And I'm still pretty good. So first he calls God a liar. Second, he continues, though. Now, this is Genesis 3:5. I think the Lord wants to focus on this character thing today because most of you know that about what we call the blueprint. And that's 10 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk Flint about 2020, if I remember right. And boy, he just lays out what his plan was for those of us that are pressing into revival. And the essence, if you boiled all those prophecies down, the essence of it, the message is, come away with me, my beloved. Come and spend time with me. And he meant in prayer, in worship, in the word, and in fastings. And to actually spend a lot of time, part of the reason is get to know your father. Lily, she's got Papa right where she wants Papa. Now, Lily, by the way, is going to be 18 in August. Can you believe that? August of 2025, Lily's going to be 18. I can't believe it. She's been driving already for a couple of years. You know, I see that, and I have a trouble registering that. My Lily cakes? Okay, hang on here. Lily knows her grandpa pretty well, and she knows I'm not going to give anything to her that's bad for her. Boy, there's a lot of things that girl can ask for, and she's gonna get it. All right, now see Genesis 3:5 is where the devil continues his coming against God's character, because he says this is Satan speaking to Eve, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I'm just going to read this paragraph. The accuser is saying God does not really have your best interests at heart. He's holding back the best from you. He enjoys this knowledge of good and evil himself, but he does not want you to have it. God does not want you to be equal with him, so he is holding you back by forbidding you to have the knowledge of good and evil. God is, he's a little intimidated by you. Now here's flattery. God is a little intimidated by you because he knows that if you obtain the knowledge of good and evil from that tree, well, you'll become gods yourself. And you're not even going to need him anymore. You can break free from God's control. Just do what I say instead of what God says, and you will be free. God. So he's saying, not only is God a liar, he doesn't have your best interests at heart. He's holding you back. He doesn't want the best for you, on and on and on. He's coming against God's character. Summary of the accuser statements here. God is not good. Remember Jesus, that rich young ruler came and said, good master. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one. That's God. God is good. But see, the devil's saying, no, he's not good. And he's saying, the devil says, God's a liar. His word is not true. You can't rely on God's word now. God's withholding the best things in life from you. You need to come taste this. You need to go do that. Things that God's word says don't. God's holding you back from your highest potential, the devil says. God's afraid that if you obtain that knowledge now, you just won't need him anymore. You yourself can become your own God. And then you can just disregard God's word and do whatever seems right to you. Boy, we could preach for weeks. Talk about the culture. My goodness. We're almost out of time. Almost out of time on this lesson. Excuse me for reaching. And I want to share something with you right here at the end of this lesson. This I want you to see in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. We're going to look at it in the King James, and I want to look at it in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to read a paragraph first while you're turning there. See, we pray to the Father. Our tendency, our natural tendency, I'm asking you, I want to just say healing. Okay, to teach. I don't have any problem with my elbow, but let me just say, I need a healing in my elbow. Father, I'm asking, please heal my elbow in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you said whatever I ask in your name, you'd do it. Heal my elbow, Father. And then what do? I look at my elbow and see if it's healed. Ah, man, that still hurts. My elbow. I guess he didn't answer my prayer. That's living by sight. And that is exactly what we tend to do all the time. That's the opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said you got to believe that you receive when you pray. See, our tendency, if we don't see the manifestation in the natural realm, we just assume God said no. God can say no if our prayers are selfish, really selfish, and not according to his will. I wouldn't have given Lily 4 or 5 or 6 ice cream cones that day, no. But if our prayers are according to his will, now listen to this, God is bound by the covenant he made with Jesus to say yes. What? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 20. In the King James, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, or yes, and in, oh no, it's yea. King James, yea, which means yes. And in him, amen. Now the word amen, if you look it up, it means so be it. Light be, okay, so be it. All the promises of God. Whew. That's a lot of promises. Genesis to maps now, that's a lot of promises. All the promises of God in him, that's in Christ, are yea, yes, and in him, amen, which means so be it, unto the glory of God by us. Now let me read that to you out of the Amplified. For as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered yes. So through him we say our amen to the glory of God. If God's saying yes, we go, so be it. Okay? If you're praying according to the will of God, then you must trust God's character enough to know that he cannot lie. He can't. I love how Dave used to just, he would lovingly hammer on this, Pastor Dave Roberson. He said, listen, we have a hard time relating to that because we all know we can lie. We just try not to, you know. But it's hard for us to comprehend a being that can't lie. It's not that he won't. He can't. And that's why you can absolutely trust his word. He can't lie. He will not break the covenant. And he has said yes to your petition when you pray. See, this goes right back to his character. No, no. You never know what God's will is. That's how I was raised. You know, he can heal. You just don't know if he will heal and so forth. That is not what the king taught. That's not what the king demonstrated. He says, I've come to show you, to manifest the Father so you can know the Father. And Jesus healed them all. Anyone who came to be healed, he healed them all. First time, every time, no exceptions. That's the Father, and that's his will. That's why when you pray, you believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have it. It's got to do with his character, and it's got to do with knowing him, and it's got to do with the word of God. You know, Jesus said, if my words abide in you, you know, you shall ask what you will. Well, his words is revealing the Father. He didn't even say anything that wasn't from the Father. Okay. You've got to trust your Father's character. You know he said yes. When you ask for something that's in his will, he hears you. And in Jesus, the answer, the covenant he made with the Son, the answer is yes. That's why you believe you receive when you pray. Your faith in his yes, your faith in the Father's yes, is all the evidence that you need. See, and that's Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. What if Lily would have walked off going, you know, here I am. She asked for an ice cream cone. I get the cones down and got the ice cream out of the freezer, and I'm busy fixing it. She just walks off out into the backyard and leaves. And I go chasing her down with her, the ice cream. I said, where'd you go? Well, I wasn't really sure if he's going to give it to me or not. She was standing there wide-eyed, couldn't wait. She knew that ice cream cone was coming. We need to know our answer is, the answer is yes. The king says, the key to answered prayer is not go running off looking for the manifestation. The key is to know God's character enough that if you ask your Father, and it's something in line, you know, with the kingdom. It's, again, Sue and I have, we had to learn how to live by this because he didn't give us the option of letting you know or anybody know of any of our needs all these years since 96 on. And this is 2025. Everything that we've needed, we had to go to him and ask. And whether, I mean, natural things, a computer, a laptop, a printer, money, healing, a car, everything, we go to him. We don't let anybody else know. And here it is. He's been providing all these years. Guess what? He really is good. And he's not a liar. And he loves you more than anything. And he got a lot of ice cream cones for you. He's got a lot of blessings for you. All right. I'm already running over. Love you so much. We'll pick this up next time. Bye-bye for now.